911, where is your emergency?
I shot my brother-in-law.
Welcome to Mistropolis, where we gather, talk about crimes, conspiracies, mysteries, and all that jazz. I'm a true crime fan. If you're a fangirl or a fanboy obsessing over true crime, come on in. I was waiting for you. Hi there! Welcome to part 3. This one will require a lot of mental work, so I suggest find a spot and get comfortable. Part 2 is all about Charles and Laurie's marriage, things that was going on in their household, and new adopted son JJ. And Laurie's undying obsession with doomsday author Chad Daybell and how he started molding things in her life from the day they met. His email about bizarre breakdown of light in Dark Souls. Ugh, stupid. Basically, it was introduction of Charles Fallow and Chad Daybell's entry in her life. So, we left at December 5th, 2018, when Laurie and her friend Melanie Gibbs started their podcast, Time to Warrior Up, and Chad, we know, was a big part of it. January 1st, 2019, Fallows moved to Gilbert, Arizona. Laurie at this point has been talking to Chad every day and has started being jerk of a mother to her special needs 6-year-old son JJ. And how do we know that? During the search of Laurie's apartment later on, like way ahead in future, police found an autism medication prescribed to JJ. It was filled last in January of 2019 and still had 17 pills in the bottle. So she clearly stopped giving JJ his medication. Sometime in January, Chad Daybell emailed Laurie's with the subject, 7 missions to accomplish together. Translation of ancient records, write the book about the translation process, identify locations in Northeast Arizona for white camps, presidency of the Church of the Firstborn, help establish the food distribution as the tribulation starts and the delegate, ordain individuals to translation as the camp begins, and provide supplies to righteous members of the family. These 7 missions. Chad and Laurie are building castles in the air. Chad the cult father and Laurie the cult mother, and they're 144,000. They are planning on translating ancient records. Well, I don't know what degree they have to do that, but okay, suppose they did end up translating. They have power to mold and twist the words that fits their goal and agenda, don't you think? We saw that in Dark and Light Souls. And the other email sent to Laurie about the Charles being a demon or being possessed by a demon. We'll look into that. Also, let's set up a camp far away from normal civilization. If we look back in history, almost all the cult leaders cut their followers off from the mainstream world, so to speak, so that the followers remain in that illusion the leader wants them to. Help establish food distribution supplies for tribulation. Classic cult leader praxis. They create a fear and portray themselves as their provider and protector because they know better. Ordain individuals, giving few chosen one a rank of priest or someone of authority. Cult leader will often praise and give importance to people who make them feel important and doesn't question them. But if you are one of those followers who is using common sense and questioning the leader, oh boy, you are either thrown out, like get the F out, or killed maybe, or ridiculed and shunned by the other members. People don't want to be ordered out for wrong reasons, and in this case, people were Dark Souls, zombies, or possessed by demons. Melanie Gibb did indirectly express how she felt everything was new and unusual. In her East Idaho interview, she was also afraid for herself. Why do you think that would be?
When you realize that the people that you know and you're close to and love have been involved in something that has to do with kidnapping and people dying, you start to think, oh my gosh, are they gonna come after me? Like, everything closes in and you start to think about your own safety, and you start to think about what really happened, and could this really be true? I had all kinds of fears.
You see where this headed. I can be wrong, but I'm trying to see this from an objective place, though it's extremely hard not to be subjective and hate Chad and Laurie. I'll just tame my anger. So, it wasn't a full-blown cult yet, but it's definitely was heading towards that. And also, let's not forget other motivators. Money, sense of power, and lust. And I will prove you that. So, Chad had a fallout with his old friend of yours, Julie Raw, and she said about him in many occasions, "If that isn't a cult, I don't know what it is. I think he thinks he's starting a church." Oh well, we all do. On January 22nd, 2019, Laurie receives another email sent by Chad with the subject, "Demon with a name Nick Schneider." In this email, Chad tells Laurie that her husband, Charles' body, has been possessed by an evil spirit named Nick Schneider, and that Charles was murdered or killed. Charles' spirit had left the body and is now occupied by this demon. This demon has been using his body to violate her and her family. So I looked up who this demon is. Needless to say, I didn't find any demon by that name. Maybe I'm stereotyping, but most demon names that I have heard of are Latin or very ancient, almost impossible for us ignorant modern people to pronounce. You know what I mean. But Google is the best. A name popped up that got my attention. Ooh. Nick Schneider, or Nicholas Schneider, who is an author and goes by the name Goetic Nick. What kind of author, you ask? This guy of our interest co-authored a book called Demonolatry Goetia. I butchered that. This group of demon believers or demon worshippers started in 1950s. They have followings in North America and in UK. They have a WordPress blog and followers contribute articles. They just had like 10 articles. It was started in 2011. They also have the PDF to the book if you want to read. We'll list that in the reference. Be careful. They say they have cursed each page or something if you try to copy paste or share it. I didn't have time for that, so I just moved on. This book had a list of demons and none were called Nick Schneider. If Chad got inspiration from here, maybe he was too scared to use the name of real demon in vain in case the real demon summons itself. Like how they say, don't interact with demons or spirits or don't acknowledge them. Chad would have had wet his pants because it's evident that he is a regular guy and has no special powers. If he had powers, he would have foreseen future and his ass wouldn't be sitting behind bars. So maybe, just a speculation, he used the name of the author instead. Who knows what kind of books he was reading. People were like dropping dead around him. Very suspicious. The second speculation or theory or opinion, call it whatever. Chad sent Laurie that nonsensical light and dark spirit list with that point system back in October 2019. So I'm assuming Chad had list of names associated with Laurie, not just ex-husbands, but even their ex-wives were listed on it. We don't have the entire list, so just a speculation at this point. Okay, listen to these mere coincidences. Charles' son, Nicholas Cole Vallow, is three dark. His name is Nicholas, so Nick, you know, maybe. And Laurie's second husband, William LaJoya, was too dark, according to the list. Laurie and him, second husband, William LaJoya, had a lot of things going on. It was a terrible marriage. I mentioned the affidavit in part one about domestic violence, arrest, and all that. Go and hear that. So William, the second husband, married a woman in February 20, 2016. Her name is Nancy L. Schneider. Schneider. Coincidence? Exclamation mark, question mark. So if Chad Tumble got these name ideas from her family list, then
he did a sloppy job.
Or maybe Laurie is way too gullible or dumb to believe any shit Chad had to offer. Okay, so we were talking about this email sent on January 22 with the subject, demon with a name Nick Schneider, calling Charles' body possessed and all that. So Charles is a walking zombie according to Chad. Just a reminder, Dutch, by profession, Charles was a financial advisor. He was the managing partner of RITE Planning Group, or Wright Planning Group, which was a retirement planning and financial investment firm. Laurie and Charles together were the firm's owner, which gave Laurie access to the firm funds. On January 28, 2019, just 6 days after email was sent by Chad, Laurie steals and transfers $10,000 into her personal account. Next day, on January 29th of 2019, she again transfers another $10,000 into an unknown Compass bank account. Same day, Laurie moves total of $25,000 into her personal account, and then that money is transferred into the unknown Compass bank account. Laurie also transfers $2,000 of Charles Vallow's Enterprise Point to a personal account. Laurie is doing her laundry, but with money. We don't know who is on the other side of the unknown Compass bank account, but I'm sure investigators have the answers to that. So the stealing of money is happening while Charles is out on a business trip and has no idea about it at this point. After this woman is done moving money, stealing money to be straightforward, she then calls Charles to threaten him. She is very calculative criminal. Criminal. She is a criminal, period. She calls to threaten him after she has moved the money. Pay attention. She got the email on 22nd January. She had a mission. She didn't want anyone in her way to the mission. If she believed Charles was an evil, why not call him out in those 6 days? Why wait till 29th after making sure to clean the bank balance? Why, Laurie? Why? Deeply religious, biased woman. Piece of shit, I say. She calls Charles. Hear this. She tells him she is a god assigned to carry out the work of 144,000 for Christ's second coming. If he got in the way of her mission, she would murder him. She is a neon red flag, top to bottom. Danger. January 30, 2019, Charles is still in Houston, Texas for the business trip. They have another phone conversation. She keeps calling him or referring him as Nick Schneider. So Charles is like at this point, oh my god, woman, who the hell is Nick Schneider? And Laurie keeps on going like a tape recorder. You are Nick Schneider. Your name is Nick Schneider. Silly woman. Then she goes on that she is translated, being sent by God to gather 144,000. She is married to Mormon prophet Moroni, sealed for eternity. If Charles gets back home Chandler, she will have him killed and she has an angel to dispose his body. He will have to die painfully and she will destroy him financially, in capital letters. Let's get real. If you are a god, why you need money so bad, Laurie? Why steal money? Money is important for us regular people who has bills to pay. She is translated being as an immortal. Same day, January 30, 2019, Charles was to travel back home from Texas. He reaches the Houston airport and finds out that Laurie cancelled his flight. Charles had to buy a last-minute $600 flight ticket to Phoenix, Arizona, as he was completely in shock to hear things she was saying to him. He feared for his kids. He landed in Phoenix and realizes his truck is missing from the parking lot. Laurie had spare keys to his truck. She drove it somewhere and hid it. Left with no option, he gets cabbed to Mesa and from there he asks a friend to drive him home. When he reaches his house, he discovers that Laurie took his desktop computer, JJ's iPad, his medication, his dog Bailey's collar, his clothes. She also took Charles' clothes and even his underwears. Changed all locks to the house. On one end, she keeps saying she has nothing to do with Charles, and on other end, she takes off with his clothes and underwear. She is not insane or crazy, many people would think. She is malicious, she is evil, she is enjoying troubling him for no reason. She cancels the flight, hides his truck, steals his money, his clothes, his computer, just to cause unnecessary trouble for him. She is malicious, religious and pious woman, I say. Same day on 30th, she calls Charles and tells him that she and JJ were staying at the hotel for the night. Next morning, she would drop JJ to school. He can pick him up in the afternoon. She tells him she did not want to do anything to do with him or the children, and he can have them as she has more important missions to carry out. Set up a cult. Listen to this carefully. She says, children, the report says emancipated child along with the adopted child JJ. So emancipated childhood is Tylee because she was a minor and was not adopted by Charles, but he was responsible for her if his wife abandons them. Not just JJ, she expresses how she feels for her own biological daughter at this point. The way Tylee's body was handled, it says a lot about Laurie as a mother. Let's not forget that. Charles and Tylee had some differences, which Dean doesn't, especially if there is a step-parent involved. But he truly loved her and cared for just not JJ, but Tylee equally.
No word from Tylee, my daughter.
Did your daughter live here too?
Yeah. She took all my clothes out of my closet too, so this is what I got.
Oh. Start with Phoenix PD. Okay. Report your truck stolen. Okay. As per. Well, we don't know if she took it. We don't know if it
if
was actually stolen.
It just disappears. There's nothing I can do after a period of time when I can't see my son.
On 31st of January 2019, next day after Laurie disappears with the kids, she goes to drop off JJ to his school. While she was walking JJ in, Charles takes her purse from her car. It had her ID, wallet, credit card, and cell phone. Charles Vallow submits a harassment call for our service, which compels Laurie Vallow to show up in Gilbert Police Department. She comes along with Tylee and her friend Melanie Gibb. She also tells the police that Charles has taken her purse from the car this morning, to which he responds that it was lying next to the car and he wanted to make sure that it was safe with him. I trust Charles, he was just making sure his wife's purse is safe. So Charles doesn't know yet that money has been stolen from his business accounts, but he is feeling it. His gut feeling is telling him she is up to something. He keeps repeating all the crazy things she has been saying and how much he is worried about the kids. After this last day of January, Laurie disappears for next 58 days.
How does she pose a threat to your children?
I don't know what she's going to do with them. I don't know if she's going to flee with them. She's going to hurt them.
I can't get in touch with my kids.
How old are your kids?
6 and a half and 16, okay?
How long have you been trying?
2 days.
Okay.
But she's lost her mind. I don't know how to say it. We're LDS. She thinks she's a resurrected being and a god and member of the 144,000. She's come, Jesus is coming.
On 4th February 2019, Charles files petition for an order of protection against Laurie Vallow because of the crazy threat she was making. JJ was with Charles and Tylee was with Laurie. Part of those 58 days, she stayed with her brother Alex, few days in Hawaii and few days with her friend April Raymond. Laurie told this friend that any day she will get a call informing that Charles is dead. Exactly like Chad was singing around telling people that Tammy will pass on. As in, die, she will die. Back to timeline. On 5th February, he finds out about all the money that was missing. Correction, all the money that was stolen by some hag. Any guesses who? On February 6th, he finds out that Laurie has transferred $2,000 to a rent-a-car from their joint account. I think he got notification or something. Also, Laurie, the mother, called JJ's school to ask if he was there. That scared Charles because no way he was letting this woman take JJ away. On 8th of February, Charles files for divorce. Laurie has disappeared, so these papers were never served. No one knows where she is except for her cult. Same day, Charles removes Laurie out as his beneficiary from his $1 million life insurance. Charles was a smart guy. The day she started blabbering nonsense, he knew, or he had the feeling that things are going in a dark path. Charles also withdraws JJ from his school for his safety. On 15th of February, Charles files second document asking for temporary custody of JJ, exclusive use of the house and the vehicle. He asked her to return the money she stole from the business account, also his and JJ's belongings. Charles was having a hard time. She took his computer, which made it hard for him to work, stole the money that affected his work and reputation greatly. And she took JJ's medication and his iPad, which had some apps that helped JJ's routine as he had autism and ADHD. Not only Charles, but it was making 6-year-old JJ's life hard as well. She is just not fit to be a mother, and that's the nicest way I can put it. Charles had a conversation with her sister Kay about the life insurance money. He wanted her to be the sole recipient of the money. I told him to leave it to his boys, but he was worried about what Laurie was going to do. Charles said, Laurie doesn't want me anymore. She doesn't want JJ. You'll end up raising JJ, so I want you to have the money. Kay Woodcock recalls. On 26th Feb 2019, Charles Vallow sends an email to Ballard Life Insurance asking them to investigate a suspicious change in password to his insurance made on 20th Feb 2019, which he never authenticated. In the email, he says that his soon-to-be ex-wife Laurie has fraudulently placed the password, locking him out. He also mentions that he wanted to change the beneficiary from Laurie Vallow to his sister, Kay Woodcock. Also that he has protection against his wife, Laurie, as she threatened his life. Remember, she stole his computer. Maybe it was Alex who spoke to Banner Life Insurance Company when or if they called on behalf of Charles. Speculation. Side note. Sometime in mid-Feb 2019, Laurie reportedly had a knockdown, drag-out fight in middle of the street with Alex Cox. She was screaming at him, accusing him of bringing disgrace on the family, a neighbor told Daily Mail. Don't quote me on this, but this is what I think happened. Laurie to Alex. Oh, Charles is pissing me, asking me the money back. He is Nick Schneider. I don't like him. Go and kill him or something. Just do it. Do it right now, Alex. Just do it. Alex to his sister. Are you effing nuts? You want me to go and kill him and end up in the jail like I went for 90 days for tasing your other husband, Joe? Are you nuts? So Laurie is now pissed at Alex. F you, Alex. You are a disgrace to our family. Alex is, oh, spoiled little sister. Calm down. Let's plan it. Maybe self-defense. We in Arizona, we can totally pull that off. No questions asked. Laurie's like, no, do it now or I'm leaving. And then she leaves. I think that would happen. On March 1st, Charles Vallow files to dismiss divorce proceedings. And people will say that's a stupid move. But he is thinking from a place of a father who wants his kids to have a family. Especially 6-year-old JJ, who needs both. And also as a husband who thinks his wife is being mind-effed by someone. He just wants to help her. He doesn't think she is evil. He's worried about her. He genuinely wants to mend things. So why would he get in altercation with Alex on the day of July when all he wanted was to take JJ for breakfast? Unless provoked. On March 26, Charles exchanged a text with his friend. Charles, I truly feel there is no good ending for this. Emotionally, JJ is about 4. He will remember bits and pieces, but thankfully, not the pain she has put a lot of people through for her mission for God. The second text from Charles read, 58 days. Believe it. The beautiful, sweet Laurie you and I knew is gone. She actually believes I'm not Charles. She says an evil spirit named Nick Schneider murdered me and is using me to violate her and her family. Not kidding. Gotta get out of here. This was the last text to his friend, I think, or maybe other texts are not available to public yet. And it said, things have changed so dramatically in past 6 months. Something snapped. It is so unbelievable and scary. I'm thankful she doesn't see JJ. She wants him and for me to disappear. Seriously, it's the freakiest thing I have ever experienced. She is with a group of people called Woke and Preparing of People. She actually believes I'm not Charles. She says evil spirit named Nick Schneider murdered me and is using me to violate her. How is Charles keeping his calm? She never once called and asked for JJ. For her, he didn't existed. Okay, so he said for 58 days she was gone, which means she got back from her hiding in end of March, if the calculation is right. She must have drained the money and wanted more, so she is back, putting her mission on hold. When Charles' sister Kay Woodcock was in Arizona to help her brother prepare to move to Texas, Laurie had come back from her 50-day trip. She recalls Laurie would come and start fussing at Charles. She would keep her hands on her hips and say, "Why are you moving? What are you doing? Why are you keeping JJ from me?" This woman never called to ask about JJ when she disappeared. Now suddenly she cares. Charles moves, and eventually Laurie moves to Houston, Texas as well. She keeps asking him to stay away, but then keeps following him everywhere he goes. Like, what is the motivator here? Clearly she doesn't love him anymore. She loves Chad. Kay talks about the situation between them after they have moved to Texas. Quote, "He happened to be due a huge insurance commission check, and sure enough, less than a week after she got to Houston, he got that commission check. That money flew out of the account so quickly. I think there was $9,000 in the checking account, and $6,000 was moved out a day or two after. So that left $3,000, and then a couple of days after that, $3,000 went out of it." End quote. Kay says Laurie was moving the money into separate accounts that Charles had no access to. She was wiping off as much money she could. My theory, she wants to keep Charles under impression that everything is fine. Let's try to be together as a family. She gets hot and cold with Charles. That's what manipulators do. One moment they shun you, next moment they make you feel everything is alright. Just to confuse you. This is why she was in Houston, Texas. Because otherwise she had nothing to do with Charles. But then she followed him to Texas. Then on June 20th, 2019, she moves back to Chandler, Arizona and gets a rental. This time, she takes both Tylee and JJ along. Son, she said, she didn't care about, and Charles can have him. Why take JJ? He needs a lot of care and attention because he is special needs. I have repeated it so many times, but I will do it again. She stole iPad that disrupted his routine and caused great damage to him emotionally and psychologically. Top that off with also removing his medication. All that unnecessary drama because she was busy with her mission. But now she wants to be a good mother. Very suspicious and dodgy. On 29th June 2019, Charles Vallow emails Laurie's brother, Adam Cox. He's the other brother. After he finds out about a possible affair between Chad Daybell and Laurie. The email read, "I'm not sure of the relationship with her and Chad Daybell, but they are up to something. She created an email alias for me. She forgot all her emails are on the computer at my house. I asked her to explain it. She started blaming you, Brandon, and me for perpetuating a scheme against her. I'm going to send this to Chad Daybell's wife. Her name is Tammy, and I found her email in their website. Whenever she gets caught doing this kind of stuff, she starts blaming everybody else." He further writes, "I wish you luck trying to get her help. I was the only one brave enough to try to get her help in January, and look what happened to me." Laurie created a false email account on his behalf in his name and sent an email to Daybell asking him to be a ghostwriter for a book Charles was writing. Charles was not writing any book. I think Chad Daybell's wife, Tammy, was getting suspicious of Chad's affair and his frequent travels to Arizona. So that coward gravedigger had to come up with some excuse. Lying piece of. So they created this email so that Chad can come over to Arizona to work towards God's mission. And some ding-dongs, why not? Well, no one is stupid here, Mr. and Mrs. Dumble. Oh, she is trying to catfish Tammy and got caught in the action by Charles. They think they're just way too superior and very smart. They're not. I will highlight some of the things written in the false email Laurie sent Chad on behalf of Charles on June 28, 2019. "We really enjoyed having you stay with us back in November when you came to the Preparing a People conference. Is there any way you could come here for a couple of days and help me get the book underway? You could stay in our guest room like before, or in a hotel if you prefer. Can you see what I see here? Unnecessary details. Liars put in useless details to make it sound real. I'm no expert, but my experience. Charles is an indulgent father. He would do anything for JJ. Both kids are with her in Arizona at this point. Hypothesis? What her thoughts must be. Why not take JJ and lure Charles to Arizona? Family hitman Alex stays in Arizona. So if he travels to Texas, think about it. So if Alex travels to Texas, shoots Charles, citing self-defense, no one is buying that story. Like, you go to his place, kills him, and say it was self-defense. Why go in his space if you are threatened by him? Raises so many questions, doesn't it? So theory. Let's say sister is having trouble with her husband, very bad relationship, and one fine day husband comes to her house to cause some troubles. Brother, who stayed overnight at sister's, come in between the couple trying to defuse the situation, but now husband is onto the brother and hits him, kind of barely touching with baseball bat. Nothing too bad, no bleeding, no cracked skull, no concussion, nothing. Just a little scratch. Side note, husband was an athlete, played baseball and football in college days. Also had striking records and still very fit. So if husband wanted to really hit the brother, he would have given a good blow, don't you think? But because brother got a little tiny scratch, we can safely assume that husband wanted to cause no harm. Or maybe never hit him in first place. We don't know. So threatened, scared brother goes to his room, gets his gun, shoots two bullets at the husband. When he could have just pointed out and warned, hey, don't come close to me. Or just shoot one, that could have dropped him on the floor and de-escalated the heated situation. Nobody had to die. But maybe sister and brother wanted him to die. Why not take a divorce?
Well, I did actually offer the idea. I'm like, why don't you just go ahead and get a divorce? And they were told that they weren't allowed to.
They weren't allowed to?
Yeah.
Because of church teachings or?
No, something that they received from through the other side of the veil, how they would speak about it. And said, no, we're not allowed to do that.
So they received like a spiritual prompting or a revelation or?
However he got his revelation.
However he got it.
Yeah.
Said, don't get a divorce.
Right, he wasn't allowed to, actually.
Was not allowed to get a divorce.
That's correct.
Because sister has a history of stealing money and threatening, and insurance would have been great than just, you know, getting a divorce. Killing two birds with one stone kind of situation. Just a theory, take it or leave. Moving back to the actual events on the timeline. On morning of July 11, 2019, Charles Fallow comes to Laurie's Chandler rental house to pick up JJ for breakfast, and then he would have dropped him off to school. I told you I think she sweet-talked him, Charles, and lured him into her house through JJ. And that's the reason she got JJ to Arizona with her. At around 7:50 a.m., Tylee wakes up to the sound of yelling. She goes out, take a baseball bat along. Charles warns her, don't hit me or you're going to jail. He pulls the bat, Tylee loses her footing, falls, and then Laurie asks her to take JJ and go out. Laurie comes out and forgets, oh shoot, I forgot my purse. She asks Tylee to go back in and get her purse, knowing things are heated inside. While she is in, she doesn't hear anything. She quickly gets her mother's purse, come out, and they, Laurie, Tylee, and JJ drives off, leaving Charles and Alex back at home. Charles and Alex got into an altercation, and Alex shot Charles in his chest in self-defense. Most will agree that it was downright extermination of all the problems siblings thought they had. Alex shoots Charles twice in his chest and then takes time, like he takes his good time to call 911. Hello 911, I just shot somebody. That's emergency. Alex is like, hello, the address is, I don't know the street name. Operator asks him, what do you want? He goes again, I want police and ambulance, please. Operator gets the medic on call and he starts off again with the address is... Dude, what have you been smoking? What the F? Just listen to this.
911, where is your emergency?
It's at 5531 South Four Peaks. I think it's Four Peaks Lane, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, you say you don't know the direction?
I don't know the street name, if it's a lane or a court.
It's 5531 East, though?
Yeah, or South.
South.
South Four Peaks.
5531 South Four Peaks in Chandler, is that right?
Yes.
You need police or paramedics?
Both. I'm in police and an ambulance.
What's the emergency there?
I got in a fight with my brother-in-law and I shot him in self-defense.
Okay, let me get the medics on the phone. And is he hurt or is he alive or?
Yeah, there's blood. He's not moving.
How long ago did this happen?
A couple of minutes.
Fire department, what is the address of the emergency?
5531 South Four Peaks.
And is that a house in Chandler?
Yes.
And your phone number, please?
480-351-9120.
And just repeat the address to confirm it.
5531 South Four Peaks.
And what is the emergency?
I shot my brother-in-law.
Okay, what part of his body is injured?
In the chest.
I'm sorry, where?
In the chest.
Okay, is he awake and responsive or unconscious?
Unconscious.
Okay, is he breathing?
I can't tell.
Okay, are you willing to go over to him and check?
Sure.
Okay, do you just let me know if you see his chest going up and down? How old is he?
It's not moving. He's 60.
Okay, and are you wanting to start CPR?
No, I don't know how to do that.
I can walk you through it.
Okay.
And what I want you to do is you're going to put one hand in the center of his chest.
Yeah.
The other hand's going to go right on top of it.
Okay.
You're going to interlock your fingers, keeping your arms straight, and you're going to press down hard and fast into his chest. You're going to go 2 inches down and fairly quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, making sure his chest goes up between each compression. Where's the bun now?
It's in the other room.
Okay. PD, we're going to stage for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, just keep going with those compressions. PD, did you have any other questions?
Yes. What's your name, sir?
My name is Alex. Last name is Cox. C-O-X.
And where are you in the house now?
In the living room.
And where is the gun?
It's in a bedroom.
Who else is there in the house with you?
Just me.
What gun is it? Was it a...
It's my gun. It's a 45.
A pistol? 45 caliber pistol?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name, your brother-in-law?
Charles Vallow.
His last name, I'm sorry?
V-A-L-L-O, Vallow.
V like Victor or G like George?
V like Victor.
Okay. Well, police and medics are on the way to help you.
Thank you.
Are you still doing what, chest compressions with him?
Yes.
Okay, just keep pushing down hard and fast in the center of his chest. How long ago did this occur? Did it just happen?
Yeah, maybe 5 minutes before I called.
Okay. Just make sure you're still pressing down at least 2 inches into his chest, and it comes up with each compression. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Were you guys arguing when this happened?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said there's nobody else there, just you and him, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
He sounds calm as cucumber. No emergency there. He's taking his time to open his mouth, talking slowly. It's just so frustrating. Okay, this one is from Stand Up This Guy Did, and you'll know how fast this guy talks.
And he gave me backstage passes to go meet Britney Spears. And I thought that was cool because I never met a celebrity that big. And I thought, oh, I'll get her a gift because I don't know the proper protocol or anything. So I gave her the gift, and she was really sweet. She was very appreciative. But she seemed a little confused by the gift, like she didn't know what it was. I got her underwear.
Lori and Tylee comes back about an hour or so after dropping JJ to school. In body cam footage, she looks all cheery and chirpy, as if she won a lottery. Oh, wait. Yeah. Or she thinks she won a lottery.
Have you lived here?
Like 3 weeks.
Oh, geez. Yeah, okay.
That's why the neighbors don't know us.
Gotcha.
Like, hi, neighbor, sorry.
Cox siblings are a team. And Tylee has no option but to, you know, stick to whatever her mother says. So let's see what was their story. Lori's story was, Jazz was yelling at me. Alex's story was, my brother-in-law was yelling. Tylee's story, my stepfather was yelling. When asked what was he yelling about, no one knows. Silence. No one has answered. All they could say was, he was yelling. Like, was he possessed talking in Latin or some other tongue that none of you understood? What was he yelling about? No one knows. That's so frustrating. Unsuspecting Charles Vallow was killed on morning of July 11, 2019 by his brother-in-law Alex Cox. Alex was never charged and was a free man. I'm glad Arizona PD is looking into his death now and has reopened the case. So we will know. I apologize that I have to section all these episodes. The only reason is there is so many details that I don't want to leave out. If I cover all that in one episode, it's going to be hours long. You all will be like, oh God, make this woman stop. And if I don't talk about it in great detail, I'll have an anxiety attack. I'll lose my sleep over it. I promise I won't take time for the next episode where we will talk about the aftermath of Charles' death, the fourth husband, what happened to that 1 million policy, and all the unfortunate turns of events and death after this one. Especially with the kids, Tylee and JJ, Charles left behind under the care of Lori Vallow. Thank you so much for taking time and listening. Bye!